You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will. Put some pep in that step. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Will.
And I'm JC.
And I'm Andrew. And you're listening to Dude.
Yes, you are.
You are, and what's up, Andrew? Welcome to the pod, baby.
Thank you.
An old dude joining us.
The old hop man. God, this is, I haven't seen you, Drew, and it's been probably like 4 or 5 years, I feel like. It's been a while.
It might have been longer than that.
I feel like I saw you in Elite, after church in Tulsa, maybe through, like, maybe, I don't know. It was a while ago, but it's good, man. You look great. You look
Thanks. Svelte.
You look
yeah.
Sexy. I'm always afraid. You know, you never know. You haven't seen a friend in a long time, and you're always afraid they're gonna be the Brendan Fraser, the whale, or something like that. And you're like, oh, you know. And then you're gonna be like, oh, you look great. But then you're like, kind of in your back of your mind, like, oh my God, like, are they gonna die? Like, you're like worried. But you look wonderful. I'm so happy.
Well, I only look this way for you all. So,
that's true.
He heard he was coming on the pod, and he just
doing P90X'd
makeup. It.
He called hair and makeup, and he was like, please. Doing all kinds of work. But yeah, no, I guess, like, Andrew, like, the journey of you being in my life and you being in Will's life, I was trying to think, like,
we've known each other for a long time, like middle school, maybe even
before middle school.
But Andrew, were you in my Boy Scout troop? Were you in Troop Zero?
I was.
How did I not know this? I didn't even know you were a Boy Scout, JC.
There was even a little bit of crossover there.
Briefly.
But here's the deal. Andrew is like a legit Boy Scout. Like, he knows knots and stuff. Like, JC, I don't even know if you know how to properly tie your shoes.
I mean, again, I was the guy who I was the first time I was camping away from home and I pooped my pants. So, I mean, yes, literally, I was like the worst Boy Scout that there ever was, you know?
JC is correct. You really, truly have had, of all of our friends, like, the most bizarre journey ever. Because, like,
it's almost like you were like a movie franchise that were like, I think he's coming back, but I'm not sure. And it'd be like, it would be one of those things where you're like, what? He's in California now, but I heard he might be coming back. I don't know.
You are kind of like the Fast and Furious of our friends. Like, oh, they're doing one in Tokyo now? Like,
oh, what? <he's... laughs>
Wait, yes. The Rock is in this one? Like...
Tell the audience a little bit about your journey, because you were the SoCal guy, kind of like to Tulsa, and kind of where all you've been, and we can kind of jump in from there.
Well, I moved to Oklahoma when I was in first grade, but I went to Jinx, then the Metro. Actually, I was homeschooled for like a year in between there. Then the Metro.
Where we met. Or where we became good friends.
Yeah, where we became friends. Asbury along the way. And then, let's see, I left Metro.
We'll get into that. I think that's worth getting into. Yeah.
I left Metro. And then... I went to Jinx, back to Jinx. And then I think, middle of my junior year in Jinx, I moved back to California.
With your parents, right? Like your parents?
With my parents, yeah. 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 My mom had some health issues, brought us back to California.
And so, right, to begin with, you were from the Bay Area originally? Is that?
Southeast of the Bay Area, Modesto. So it's actually in the valley. It's kind of a farm community.
And your dad's an Amazon guy, right? Like, he worked for Amazon for a long time, right?
He did, yeah.
He was a big deal in retail. He was at Gap, right? He was a big
I didn't know that.
A big Andrew's dad, I think, was a pretty big deal in the retail world for like a long time. I mean, I think he was sort of on the cutting edge of a lot of big successful brands. I think that's, again, that's what brought him out to California. And I think then there was he was out in California for a little bit. You were back in Tulsa or something like that too?
Yeah. So basically I got kind of tired of being in California. Like right at the end of my high school years, I got, you know, moved out to school. I didn't know anybody. And so they actually allowed me to move back to Tulsa and continue finishing up my high school degree in Tulsa by myself. So there's some other stuff. So I was registered as a registered is probably the wrong word to use.
Whenever I hear the term registered, I'm like, oh, like he was what?
I was officially documented as a independent student because I was 18 at the time.
Okay. So California guy, you ended up, your dad took a job in Tulsa. Is that how you guys first got to Tulsa? Because that's kind of random to go from the Bay Area to Tulsa because you didn't have any family in Tulsa, right?
My mom's biological father lived in, Tulsa. Yeah.
So that was one of the connections to Tulsa, but was it his job that brought him to Tulsa or was it?
His job moved. Yeah. His job kind of moved us everywhere. So technically we moved from California to Florida and then we lived in Florida for a year and then moved to Oklahoma, with William. So he started in Oklahoma with William.
Okay.
And then your family for a hot minute moved. Well, they moved to Seattle for a long time, but you went with them for a little bit, right?
Yep. So when I moved back to Tulsa to finish up my high school degree here, and then I moved back to California to go to school in Southern California, and then I'm gonna get half of this mixed up and wrong, but oh no. So then I moved back to Oklahoma to be with my wife now, Elise, and then we both moved out to. Yeah, I know. We both moved out to California, then up to Seattle.
like you can't even keep it straight. Like, you know what I mean? Because it was just
there's Australia in there as well. I missed that one. Yeah.
When we graduated from college, I hadn't seen you in a good 4 or 5 years, right? And one night, I go out with some friends, and we go to this place called the Cigar Bar at the Riverwalk in Tulsa, and I'm sitting there and I see you behind the bar working there. And I go, oh my God, Andrew. And you're like, hey, how's it going? I said, what's going on? And you're like, I just moved back to Tulsa from Australia. Like, what?
All right. I want to get, but let's back up. I want to go in some sort of, I want to attempt to go in chronological order here because it's so wildly insane, and then we can insert our friendship and some of the stories as we go through it. But it is, dude, you've lived a crazy wheels off life, and now you're family man in Broken Arrow, two kiddos, you know, working 9 to 5. You know what I mean? Like it's hysterical. Yeah. So, all right. So we all met. Or got close, I would say. Through youth group, I think essentially too, right? That would sort of be the connection there as well. And here's the funny thing: I will always say this is something that always was a theme. And Will, you can confirm this. Andrew, the ladies always loved Andrew.
Yes,
he always had no. There, women always were like after, like as soon as, because like we all became friends, like as we were kind of like going, moving into people, when you finally started liking girls and all that, like, you know what I mean? Like, because Will, I knew you, we were like right on the cusp where I met you in fifth grade and, or started spending time in fifth grade. And like, we kind of transitioned from like, yeah, you didn't really like girls to like, okay, like we're into girls. But Andrew was this hot, I swear. Every time on every mission trip, there was like a girl falling in love with Andrew. There was always there was always a love story of some sort. And I remember always being like, man, what is Andrew's got like a magic? He's got something where they just think like it was aggressive love.
Dude. Here's the thing that always blew my mind. I mean, obviously, I think you're a good looking dude. I think you're very smart. You're just really good at like fixing things, and you're kind of a man's man.
It's a man's man.
You're definitely a man's man. But here's the thing that confuses me. Girls are always saying things like, I'll never date a guy who's shorter than 6 foot. No offense, you got great qualities, but height is not one of them. Same with me, but I think you're shorter than me. But the ladies still
loved him.
Flocked by the dozens.
But always. I don't know. We went on a lot of mission trips together, and I just remember they're always, every single time, it was like, oh, well, she's in love with Andrew. And, like, I would get stuck in, like, the van with the girl who was, like, and Andrew would be in the other van or something, and she'd just be spilling her guts out to me about, like, I like him so much. I don't even. I'm like, I don't know. He's really into VWs. I don't know. Like, I don't, you know, I think he's into you, but I don't know. He's, you know. Yeah, and Andrew was always, I would also say this, like, you're the, like, honest to God, you're one of the sweetest human beings I've ever met. Like, one of the, like, such a good heart, but a little bit of a bad boy in you. You got a little bit, yeah, especially growing up, a little bit of bad boy, I think, but it wasn't bad boy. I think it was more of just you wouldn't, like, to Will's point earlier, about, you know, being able to just go places and be like, all right, I'm going here, do this. I think you're just like, if it was dumb, you'd be like, F this, or you just would kind of, so I you don't have to get into who, but what was your, like, how did you end up leaving Metro? I guess, and you don't have to get into like exact specifics, but like, was there like a, is that a good story? I think I remember it was involved in a tennis racket, story. I believe it involved a tennis racket.
Yeah. Well, so the funny, or what I find funny is I don't remember who it was. Like, I wasn't targeting anybody. I honestly don't remember who it was, but it was, what I remember was we were on the tennis team. So we were at tennis practice and he was the best player on the team. And so like, it was my goal to beat him in practice. And I beat him one time and, I overly celebrated, you know, and he didn't like that. And so his sister was picking him up. So he was walking away and I was like, oh, what? You don't want to play again? Yeah. You don't play again. And, he turned around and came back at me. And as I was walking away and hit me in the back of the head with a tennis racket. So I turned around and clocked him. And, then I got in trouble for it.
Like, was it a, like, at least was it a, like, I've never punched anybody in the face, really. Like, was it a good, like, in retrospect, you're like, ooh, that was a good hit. Or was it, like, kind of like a half, like, got in the back of his head? Do you remember, like, the hit itself?
It was a decently solid hit. It could have been better.
Yeah. But you felt like you were like, ah, that's pretty decent hit.
Yeah.
So, was it pre or post when you were working at Chuck E. Cheese? We need to get into this. this is awesome. This is one of those things that I forget that, like,
Chuck E. Cheese.
Andrew worked at Chuck E. Cheese.
So I worked at Chuck E. Cheese my freshman year of high school. What prompted
this? Yeah, like, please, can you just tell us, how did you end up there? Like, why Chuck E. Cheese?
Like, you were good at working with cars, like, you're like, you've got a, like, a mechanical mind, and you decide to work at Chuck E. Cheese? Like, what's, well, no offense to Chuck E. Cheese, but.
I had no job experience, zero. It was my very first job, real job. I had just started driving, and so I honestly cannot answer why Chuck E. Cheese. I can't answer that question. I can't answer that question.
But you drove there. Filled out an application and was like, I'm your man.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I did. I don't know what brought me there. I don't. I started working there and I remember I quickly got like promoted to fixing all of the games. So I ended up started work with my hands immediately and fixed all their.
Okay, Andrew, you worked at Chuck E. Cheese. You got fired from Chuck E. Cheese. What happened? Why?
So I was asked to be the mouse, Chucky. His name's Chucky.
And it was sort of a revolving door of just was every day at work like, hey, today you're cleaning the ball pit. Today you're fixing the thing where you threw the balls at Mr. Munch or whatever that guy's name is. Is that?
Yeah, and they cycled everybody through the Chucky suit. So.
Is that a high honor to be in the Chucky suit? Like, no, does that no, get you the big bucks? Okay.
No, not at all. Not at all. So I went into. There's just a little closet that you would go and suit up and then you would come out and there's workers that are supposed to walk with you as you go around the whole area. Right. So you're not stepping on kids and stuff. It's hard to see out of it. And then they teach you that if something gets out of hand, you do this and workers will come and fix the problem so Chucky doesn't have to. So I was doing limbo with the kids.
Why? Why were you doing limbo in that outfit?
The funny thing is, Chucky's limbo was... Chucky would barely bend back and they would lift the bar up and over.
Did you decide to play the limbo or was that on the schedule?
No, that's on the schedule. It was part of the route. Part of the route. We had a route.
Okay.
So a kid came up and kicked me. And so I did the timeout thing and nobody came over to help me. So this kid just kept kicking me and then he punched me and nobody was helping me. So I pushed the kid back. Probably not the best choice, but it's what happened. And so the dad stands up and comes over and pushes me in the Chucky suit. So I push him back. He pushes me back. And that's when...
Did you have the mask on this whole time, by the way?
Yes. Yes. That's when the manager decided to come over and actually do something. And he whispers in Chucky's massive ear, you're fired. Go back and take this stuff off. And so I took my head off and I said, I quit. And I threw my head. all the kids started screaming.
Somebody had to have applauded that. Like, somebody had to have been, like, in the corner just being like, go Chucky! Yeah!
The sequence of events is incredible. Like, I just imagine the do 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 do. You're doing the limbo, and all of a sudden... Was he hitting you in the little Chuck E. Cheeses, or where was he hitting you?
Well, he started with the kicking me in the shins, but that's where he ended. Was the
he ended up like you fighting full grown Chuck E. Cheese fighting a dad, and then you throwing your head off.
So what you guys don't know is that right after that is when I texted one of you. Asked what you guys were doing because I knew you lived nearby and I can't remember which one. And you guys were like, we're just hanging at the house. And I came over and just hung with you for the rest of the day.
That's amazing.
I mean, again, just incredible. Like, amazing
so
stuff.
Did you enjoy working there? Was it kind of like, that's fine?
Actually, I mean, it was all right. I mean, I was a kid myself. I was 16, and I, you know, got to get inside those games and like tinker with the machinery and the mechanics. And it was decent. It wasn't too bad. I got another Chucky story. So what I would do. Do you know those? They still have them. The gummy burgers, the little gummy burgers.
Yeah, that's great. Little Krabby Patties. Yeah,
this little Krabby Patties. So I used to go in the back where they stocked all the candy, and I used to take a bunch of those little gummy burgers. And behind the ski balls would fall behind, and you had to crawl. But you had to crawl underneath them and get the ski balls. I used to crawl back there because it was just like way back there. Nobody ever looked, and I would take candy with me, and I just eat it. I just sit back behind the ski balls and
that would be like your equivalent of your smoking break. You were just in there eating massive amounts of candy. I do have one more Chuck E. Cheese mechanical question. I always think about with the Chuck E. Cheese is there was obviously like the live Chuck E. Cheese, which you have one of the greatest stories of all time. But there's the animatronic Chuck E. Cheese's. Now, did you ever fix these? What, any weird stories with those? Because I was always fascinated by that whole band, the whole whatever the heck that was.
Yeah, they used like a third party company to work on that. So I never got to see any of that stuff.
They brought in the pros. They brought in the big wigs, big guns. To
I have a question for both of you guys. Do you think in Chuck E. Cheese's heyday, because we know I did in fact check that location, that Chuck E. Cheese is still in fact there.
It is,
but
yes,
you need to go back. You need to go back, man.
You do need to go back.
Tom, but you're still here.
Do you guys think in his heyday, when Chuck E. Cheese was the thing, which is, I feel like when we were kids, do you think Chuck E. Cheese ever had aspirations to like take their show to Vegas? Like, was there ever like, do you think the one in Vegas was like a little bit better, like a little bit more showmanship?
I don't think it was like a Donnie and Marie show of like an actual like the rat coming down and like dancing like he did like a real deal like a residency like Lady Gaga. Is that what you're like alluding to,
but
Will?
Here's the thing, Vegas is all about showmanship. So you think the Chuck E. Cheese in Vegas is like a little extra, like maybe they, you know, Chuck E.'s got, you know, some bedazzled like outfits and
when
know.
I say happy, you say birthday. Happy birthday.
That's
the song, man.
That's it. Yeah.
That was it, dude. That was
that it. That brought back a lot of memories, right?
What was it like? Like, so your senior year by yourself, what was that whole experience like? Like coming back to Oklahoma after your time in California?
So I lived with my friend's parents for a little bit, and then I moved into my parents' best friend's house in Sand Springs area. And I just lived in their basement. but they made it real nice for me. So there's like studded walls, but there was no drywall. So it was just like dirt behind. And so they stapled up sheets, you know, on the wall. So I didn't have to sit, but they definitely tried to make it homey, but I was an independent student. So I discovered that I could sign myself out of school.
That's a unbelievable.
What?
I would be doing that every day. Are you kidding me?
I did it. I did do it. I did it a few times. Yeah. Just.
So hold on. How does that work? How do you sign like, hey, my father, Andrew Hopper, is letting me, Andrew Hopper, leave? Like, how does that work?
Doctor's visits. I mean, you can make up whatever you want, really. But my signature allowed that to be accepted, I guess. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Crazy.
So
while at Jinx, is that where you met at least? Is that where you met your wife? Where you guys were dating then?
Yeah, no. So I met her. We became friends my sophomore year of high school at Jinx. And we just stayed best friends throughout. It wasn't until her junior year of college where we started dating.
And she was at OSU, and that's what brought you then to OSU,
back.
Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you go to OSU for a little bit?
Yeah.
No. I lived there. I didn't.
Oh, I thought you were a student because I remember playing. I remember I came over a few times. We played beer pong.
Yeah, I was a student at the Art Institute online while I was living there while she was going to OSU.
Your life is fascinating.
And I'm gonna let me back up real quick, because another interesting story about my senior year at Jinx was that because I was signing myself out, I had to work really hard to pass all my classes. And so I got my degree or my diploma, and so my whole family flew down for the graduation ceremony. And then I get I'm sitting in the practice part of the graduation ceremony, and I get walking, pulled out.
Yeah.
I get pulled out by the principal. No. And in the middle of it. So I'm like, I have to stand up in front of my entire class, which is like 800 and something people. And I walk out, and he said, we have caught, and I'll just, Derek Miggy, he hacked into the computer system at Jinx, and he changed a bunch of people's grades, and one of them was yours. And we now don't know if your grades are real or not, so we have to take your diploma back, and you're going to have to go through your senior year again.
Whoa. But you can't do that based on if he doesn't know what your real grades are.
Right, so...
how's that your fault?
So we argued it. My parents and I, are mainly my parents, argued it. And they said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to let him walk, because we know your family flew in from California. We're going to let you walk.
Because this is crazy. Like, this is like a movie. Like, things don't happen like this.
No.
It's like in the movie, they're like, when someone like runs down the aisles, like, stop the wedding. Like, it doesn't really happen like that. But this... it happened as you were, oh my God. And then, okay, we're going to have to dig into this.
But someone hacked in and changed your grade. So how does that?
So he is a computer genius, and he hacked it. He figured out how to hack in and he changed people's grades. He was just messing around. I didn't know anything about this.
So you did not. So you're not Eric Mitty, is what you're saying. Whoever this Eric Mitty character is, you're not him. That's
Derek,
not like an alter ego.
No, no. And so they let me walk, and then they said, you know, you need to go around to all your teachers, and if they'll vouch for you, then we'll give you your diploma.
How is that on you?
And again, this feels like a movie plot. Like, this does not feel like real life. This is like the plot of Billy Madison, where they're like, well, he has to go back to school to get the company. Like, you lived that.
Yeah.
That was real.
Yeah. So I went around to each teacher, and, you know, all of them had, you know, they're all required to keep paper copies of the grades as well.
Yeah.
So they were all able to provide, you know, yes, he did have this grade. Like, Derek just gave me all A's. Like, just A's across the board. I didn't have, there's no way I had A's. I admitted to that. I was like, I know I don't have A's, but I passed. And so I got all the teachers to vouch for me, except for my English teacher. This dude thought he was teaching college curriculum, and he was like, well, how do I know what your grades are if they were changed? And so we went back and forth, and he would not vouch. So we went back to the principal, and we're like, look, he's not vouching. What do you want to do? And he was like, well, we can't let you pass unless we know. And so we didn't have to actually get an attorney. We just kind of threatened to get an attorney, and they just let me have my diploma.
That's the most insane thing I've ever heard. How is there not a diplomatic way to do this? They made you go and find out what your grades were?
I walked around with my parents to my teacher's classes. Yeah. That ended my, you know, that was the end of my life at Jinx.
But one time you and I got chased by hillbillies in Kentucky. Mm.
Yeah.
Do you want to recount the story?
That's when I learned you were really fast. You were really
Will,
fast.
I always say this. Like, Will was, I'm telling you, Will, you used to be so fast, man. You were, like, you should have done track. You should have run track, and you should have returned kicks in football, man.
Yeah, it bored me, so I chose the ultimate extremes adrenaline sport, baseball.
Yeah, there you go.
That could go on the list of near death experience. I don't know what their plan was.
Well,
with us.
Do you remember what we were doing? I have a vivid memory of what we were doing.
Yeah, we were with a laundromat washing our clothes.
So we were in Kentucky with our church, and
it was a mission trip. This was one of the mission trips where you would go with the middle school would go, what, 7th, 8th grade, freshman, whatever. That would be the spring break, and parents loved it because it was like, hey, our kids aren't getting in trouble. We're sending them somewhere, and they're doing like it was fun for us too because we got to just be with our friends and hang out. So it really was a win-win. But we did those. That was most of spring break growing up. So anyway, we're in middle of nowhere. We're really middle of nowhere, Redbird, Kentucky, which is nowhere.
We were truly in the middle of nowhere of Kentucky.
Beautiful, beautiful area.
Appalachian Mountains. Yeah, gorgeous. But like when I say that it was like hillbilly country, like I honestly think there were probably shacks out there with no electricity. We were out there. And so Andrew and I don't know why we were there unsupervised, but it was late at night. We were probably maybe like a half a mile from our cabin. And we, for some reason, being in middle school, high school, we were washing our clothes at a laundromat. I don't know why.
You're so responsible. You were just so, I got to fold these. I don't want them.
I don't know
why
either.
My mom will be really upset if I don't clean my, you know, my shirts.
For some reason, Nickelback, Silver Side Up, was very popular at the time. And you and I were belting Nickelback in the laundromat. And these guys must have heard it because these rednecks in this truck pull up in front of the shop.
There was like four guys in the back of the bed of the truck.
Like very cliche rednecks.
Yeah.
And they pull up and they see us and they kind of look at us. And we're like, oh no. And you and I kind of like open the door, and I don't know if they said something to us or not, but you and I were just like, I think either you or I said, run!
It's those videos you see where it goes, you know, in the background, run.
Yeah, you and I both just bolted it. We were barefoot.
On gravel.
On pure adrenaline.
Yeah.
And this truck swerved around and started driving at us.
Yeah, started chasing
and
us.
And we like ran into the woods. Do you remember that? Like we were like, just go into the woods so they can't get us.
honestly the visual I have of running was, Will, you had flip-flops on at first.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them just whoop, just fly off, and then it was like turbo after that. You just took off. I was like, I'm dead. I'm done. He's good. I'm done.
Yeah, I left you in the dust, man. We were so filled up with adrenaline after that. You remember that? Like, we were just like, we almost died.
We were yelling. Okay, we were yelling as we got closer, help!
Yeah.
We thought they were going to catch us. Drag us somewhere.
What were they gonna do? And why were they there? And what were they gonna do?
It was late too. I don't know what time it was, but it was dark out.
Yeah. Why were we there that late? That's what I also want to know. Who let us go to a laundromat at like seemingly 9 o'clock at night in the middle of Kentucky?
I have no idea why we were there. It's a great question.
I'm trying to think any other mission trip stories stick out, Andrew, that were like.
Oh, okay. So, do you remember Guatemala?
Yeah, of course.
We were in a compound with like guards at the gate.
So I did Guat with Andrew, and it was in Guatemala City. And what we would do would be kind of in and around the crazy thing about Guatemala City is like there is an unbelievable dump, like it's unlike anything you've ever seen, and it's in the middle of Guatemala City. And I mean, it's one of those things that like, I'm sure like if you're flying overhead, you're like, what is that? And people, it's a massive massive landfill dump.
People dug holes and like lived in it.
And they harvest from it. There's a whole like ecosystem of people who survive within the dump. So like part of the mission trip. So we would go down and we would stay at kind of like a compound, and we would get bussed and we would help out at schools and we helped out at an orphanage and a couple of different things. But it was funny, where we would sleep is, it was crazy because, to your point, everything was, you know, barbed wire and people with, you know, AK-47s, and it was pretty wild, you know, just to be like, all right, like we're praying and singing Kumbaya and doing all these things. And then it's like, you look over and Jorge has a machine gun. You're like, is this safe? Like, was this a good idea? I don't know. But yeah, you go, Andrew.
Yeah, it definitely had a an odd vibe. I think that feeling quickly went away because we just were kids and we just,
yeah,
like, having just, a good time. But
exactly,
you know. But I remember one night I thought it was guns, machine guns, just going, and I hit, I don't know who else was in the room with me, but I hit the floor and I'm scrambling around trying to grab something. And all I could get a hold of was a spoon. And I was ready to go. But I say that reluctantly. I wasn't really ready to go, but I seriously thought something was going down. Somebody threw fireworks out there. And it was supposedly to celebrate somebody's birthday.
And I remember, who was it? Somebody had a freak out. Somebody had a melt. There was an adult who was in charge that like verbally like abused all of us. And then it turned out that like the joke was, I think one of the youth leaders had done this. And so like then they had to I remember verbally assaulted by an adult, basically our whole group being like talked down to. And then it was like the person actually in charge of the trip had done this. And it was one of those, you know, one of those awesome few moments when you're in middle school that you're right, or high school, and you're right. And you're just like, yes. Like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, yeah, like, you know, wow, yeah. Dude, it's crazy. You know, what's a funky story I know about Andrew, and I would always, I think about this every single time I fly on an airplane. Andrew would, do you know this, Will? Did you ever see Andrew
have
this awesome, Andrew had this awesome backpack. He had this awesome backpack in middle school.
I still have that somewhere.
And it would have patches on it. And what he also had was he had what looked like a seatbelt from an airplane. And I was like, I remember being like, dude, that's so cool. Like, how did you get that? And he was like, oh, I just, you can take them. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, you can disconnect them. It's really easy to do. I disconnect them almost every time I fly. They have to, I remember him telling me this. He goes, they have to replace them. They replace them like every flight. And so,
oh, I remember that backpack now.
So I remember like being like, oh, that's so cool that he knows that. And now like flying, I'm like, I'm sure like, dude, you were like a menace on these, because they were probably going through their checklist and somebody's like, dude, where's the seatbelt? And they're like, someone stole a seatbelt again. It was you.
So they've got these little clips on the bottom in between the cushions, and you can just clip them off. And I took one with me. And the thing is, like looking back on that, they'll shut down an airplane for the baggage thing not closing right. So I can't imagine like what they actually had to do with a missing seatbelt.
but my favorite was how cavalier you were, like, so sure. You're like, yeah, they got to replace them. Like, every, like, flight. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Sure. That makes sense. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Like, yeah, we have the crazy part is, well, it's not that crazy, but the funny part to me on that is my mom actually sewed them to my backpack for me.
You're so innovative, sweetie. Yeah, get my sewing kit.
I'd be curious to know what my mom, what I told my mom. I don't know what I told my mom to convince her that it's okay. It's okay.
So you have to replace them, Mom.
I mean, I believed it. It was like, yeah, that makes sense. Sure. Sure. Of course, every flight, they're replacing the seatbelts. That makes so much sense.
Do you, Andrew, so one story I remember is we were in JC's neighborhood, but I don't think JC was a part of this. You may have been, but we were actually staying at Forrest Wilson's house. But this is in your neighborhood. But I just remember you, me, and Forrest, and potentially JC, went to Haven Hoffman's house in the middle of the night. We were staying the night there. We thought, hey, let's go just do something to the Hoffman's yard, like toilet paper or whatever. So we're walking there, and I think we got a couple bags of toilet, or a couple rolls of toilet paper. And we get there, and we're kind of throwing the toilet paper, and then we're like, what else should we do? And you were like, I gotta poop. I'll just poop on their lawn. So we're like, that is brilliant. Do it. So in the center of their front yard.
These are people we know from church.
It gets better. So yeah. It's a very sweet family. You're there and you're going. And all of a sudden we hear whoop 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 whoop. And we're like, oh no. From a squatting position, pull your pants up, and we dart. We go. Do you remember this at all?
I don't.
Do you think it was a real? Was it the police?
It was the police. I guess they were patrolling the neighborhood for some reason. I mean, what are the odds? While you are squatting down, we're laughing, and we just hear whoop whoop. So we run. And I think we may have, like, backyard hopped back to Forrest's house. Like, we were, like, just going through people's backyards and climbing the fences so the police couldn't, like, use their car. I can't believe you don't remember that. I was simultaneously scared that I was going to get arrested, and I was crying laughing because I knew, like, we left. We took off without you because you were, like, trying to...
Andrew, did you get it? Did you get any out?
I don't think so, because I think it was pretty quickly after you pulled down your trousers. And
I mean, we, you know, I know I and we did. I mean, we did stuff like that all the time.
All the time.
That's all it was toilet paper. Because again, it was, and that's what's so weird with this like new generation. I'm sure you think this, Andrew, because your kids are getting old enough to be like, they're just playing games on their phone and stuff. It's like, we would just go out and just cause chaos.
Yeah.
Would you be upset if, as an adult, if your child's classmates toilet papered your house? Would you be mad?
I don't think so.
I don't think I would either. I think I'd be like, ah, I did it too.
I'd be like, oh, it's a rite of passage, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when you cross over into damaging something, maybe I'd get upset, but... I mean, I am still a prankster to this day. I mean, my kids have to deal with it, so.
One time, Max Helmrick and I found a dead raccoon, like roadkill.
This is weird.
And we picked it up, and we took it to a girl's house that we didn't like, and it died like this. And so we propped it up against, they had like a glass door and then the regular door, right? Like a screen door. And then, so we propped up this raccoon against the glass door like that. And so it's like, looks like it's like growling. Its mouth is open and its paws are up. And it's like stiff. So we lean it up against the glass. I think we rang the doorbell and ran and then sat back and watched.
That poor person.
Andrew, we've been going so long. Normally, we don't even go this long, but we would love if you have any other a couple things that you want to hit on. I'm good for a little bit longer.
I've got one thing for you, Will.
All right.
Okay.
Previous episode, you talked about a fly and how much you hated this fly. And I'm sure you've seen this before, but I can contest this is one of my favorite things to defeat flies is The bug assault.
Dude, my friend has one of those. Those things are, it shoots sand, right?
It shoots salt.
Salt, that's what it is.
Salt.
Is that the most fun thing ever?
It's a blast.
It doesn't really hurt if you get shot with it, right?
No, no, you have to get pretty close to the fly. But you can get close, like you don't have to get close to where it'll fly away, but you do have to kind of be sneaky. That's what makes it fun for me, is you do have to be a little sneaky. You hunt it down, you shoot it. My dog, I've got a golden, she doesn't even like to catch a ball in her mouth, but she will, if I cock this thing, I don't know where she is, if I cock this thing, she'll come running, she'll stand right by my side, and I hit the fly, it drops to the ground, and she runs and eats it. Like, it's awesome.
I have seen those. Those things are amazing.
I'm going to get you one.
This is awesome, Andrew. Great stories. I've cried three times laughing so hard. So this has been awesome, man.
Yeah, it was good. It was good to catch up with you guys.
Dude, it was amazing. And you got such a crazy, I mean, again, your stories are insane. Andrew, this is awesome, man. We'll have to get you on again to unwrap a couple other things, but there's just great material here. Really appreciate you being on the pod, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Absolutely.
Will, anything we got to end with here?
Not really. Just keep on, watching on YouTube. Keep on checking out thedudepod.com. Follow us or just be active with us. We just love when people interact with us. That's the whole point. We just like people interacting with us. It makes it fun. Like Andrew sent us an email and it landed him on the podcast. And I mean, obviously you were on our list to be a guest for a long time, but like we like it when people talk to us and send us stuff. Yeah. It's fun.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Ann, for being on.
Yeah, thanks. It was good.
See you, everybody.
Yeah, bye.